Good morning. He is risen. He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive. And thank you that your word is alive. You are here with us by your Spirit this morning. And so, Jesus, we pray that you would touch each of our hearts with your love. In your name, amen. Amen. Just want to look at that passage briefly about the Emmaus Road. The resurrection is something that's mentioned in the Bible 104 times. It's quite a big theme of the Bible. The amazing thing is that Jesus is the only living founder of any of the world religions today. All of the rest of them are in the history books, but Jesus is still with us. He's still alive. He's still working in the church today and around the world. And something that's really struck me this Easter is something different about Jesus rising from the dead. That I don't know if you ever thought other people have risen from the dead, like Lazarus and other people, Tabitha, she was raised from the dead. So what is it that makes Jesus' resurrection different? The thing is, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, that when other people got raised from the dead, I mean, even in the Old Testament, people were raised from the dead. Like Elijah raised someone from the dead in the Old Testament. But all of those others who've been raised from the dead, what happened to them eventually? They died. Oops. And the difference being that Jesus was raised with his resurrection body. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us that we will be raised. You and me, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we will be raised, and we'll be raised to a new and with a new resurrection body, not a body in weakness like mine is, but a body that's raised to eternal life, and that we will live with Him forevermore. And so Jesus, when He was raised from the dead, He was raised in His resurrection body. He never died again like Lazarus died again. That must have been interesting, having your second funeral. But Jesus still lives. And that is wonderful. In His resurrection, we will also be raised. And that is really good news for all of us today. Anybody ever feel a bit weak in their body? Yes, aches, pains, weaknesses, things. And one day when Jesus calls or comes again, we will be raised in power. Not in weakness, but raised in power. That's really encouraging for us. One day we're going to see Jesus, and I'll see him with perfect eyes. And you'll see him with your glorified body that he's going to give you. But I just want to share three things out of this passage. And the three comments that were made by these Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus. There were 7 miles between Emmaus and Jerusalem. And I just want to bring out three quick things that they said. The first one was this, where they said to Jesus, who comes alongside them on the road, and they don't even recognize him. And Jesus asks them the question, you know, what are you talking about together? And they say, well, we're talking about this guy, Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, this is the biggest setup in the world, isn't it? You know, talking to Jesus about Jesus. This is a bit of a sneaky Jesus at the moment, who is not telling them who he is, but keeps his identity hidden. And so he says, well, what things? And they start to talk about, well, we had hoped this Jesus was going to be the prophet. And they go through the whole story. And it's those three words where they say, we had hoped, that expresses what was in the hearts of these people on the road to Emmaus, Cleo and his friend. And they were really frustrated and disappointed. They were broken. They were confused. They were skeptical. And really the best word to describe them was hopeless. The funny thing about these guys is that they had actually heard a rumor that Jesus might have risen from the dead. Did you notice that in the passage? They said some of the women said that he'd come alive again, but you know, we left anyway. I don't understand that. Wouldn't you want to just hold on for a minute and find out if it was true? You notice these people had given up so easily. They had been part of the kind of whole scene with Jesus and Jerusalem and all the events of Holy Week, and probably had gone way, way back a few years with Jesus. But even although they had heard a rumor that he might be raised from the dead, they still just thought, well, let's go back to Emmaus. There's nothing here for us. Come on, let's go home. Wouldn't you want to wait just to see if that rumor was true? They gave up. And a lot of people give up on God too early and don't wait to find, is there something true in this? Is there really something that might be for me in this? And unfortunately, they just give up on God. I want to encourage anybody here today, if you're kind of searching and thinking, I wonder if I've heard a rumor, maybe this is true. Maybe people keep talking to me about this Jesus. I hear people tell me, is it really true or not? I would encourage you not to walk away. Don't go back home. Don't go back home without Jesus. They were walking in the opposite direction. Jesus, actually, in another gospel, had told Mary Magdalene, tell the disciples to go to Galilee. So why were Cleo off to Emmaus? He was going in the wrong direction. He was walking away from God. He couldn't understand what was going on. There was brokenness. There was emptiness. There was hopelessness. And if we do live in a world today, the reality and honesty of the world we live in today is very hopeless, isn't it? Really hopeless. Did anybody watch David Attenborough's climate change thing the other night on the BBC? My goodness, we live in a world that is hopeless. I don't know how people get through life without Jesus, because there seems to be so many problems in our world today of brokenness, of sadness, of sorrow. And if we didn't know Jesus as the hope of the world, where would we be? We are not those who have no hope. We're those who do go through tough times like we heard today, but we always have hope through the tough times of Jesus. So that was the first thing they said. They said, we had hoped. And the thing was that they kind of knew the truth, but they had not met the truth yet. And it was when they actually met the truth that's when that hope returned to them. They had heard the rumor of the resurrection. Sometimes we can feel like that, even on Easter Sunday, even in church. The resurrection can just feel like a bit of a rumor. And it's until you actually meet Jesus, until you encounter God, until you surrender and say, Jesus, come into my life and come into my brokenness, come into this heart of mine. Lord, here I am. Come and just take me just as I am. It's when you meet with Jesus and come into relationship with him, that is when the hope is kindled afresh. The second thing that these disciples on the road to Emmaus say is when Jesus reveals himself to them, and when at the breaking of the bread, we don't know how it all happened, you know, like there's that brilliant, did you like that, this of the hole in his hand moment in the video? You like that? No? We don't know what happened for these guys on the road to Emmaus, how it was that they recognized him and what exactly it was, but they said when they discovered him, they were like, whoa, you know, the moment of revelation and the moment of like, it's Jesus. And the 7 miles they'd walked from Jerusalem, they were about to go for it again. 14 miles on Easter Day. These were fit disciples. And we don't know how much of the 7 miles they ran. You know, they should have said when they got back, you know, they caught their breath first. If it was me, I wouldn't have run them all because I wouldn't have made it. But they went back the 7 miles. It's interesting, as they come the 7 miles and they go back the 7 miles, they go back different, don't they? They go back with that sense of Jesus is alive, with the passion of what Jesus, you know, like the excitement, it's all changed. But the amazing thing is they said, were not our hearts burning within us while he walked along the road? And I want to just say this, that even although the 7 miles back would have been the more exciting 7 miles, I think the 7 miles they would remember was the 7 miles, the first set of 7 miles. Because they said our hearts were burning within us. And that the reality dawned on them that even that Jesus had actually been with them while they were feeling hopeless, while they were feeling despairing, while they were frustrated and angry, probably while they were in that dark place, their hearts were, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us along the way? I want to say today to anybody who is in a dark place, it's not always easy to come to church on Easter Sunday when we're kind of supposed to celebrate if you're not actually in a place to celebrate. Sometimes we don't feel like celebrating. Is that right? And that's okay, because the people on the road to Emmaus didn't feel like celebrating either, but they had hearts that were burning because Jesus was with them in the darkness. That's such a brilliant thing, isn't it? Even though they didn't recognize him, he was walking with them the 7 long miles as they were depressed, hopeless, worrying, anxious, wondering what was going to happen to them. Wondering, had they given up their lives to some lost cause and had gone, they were walking kind of gloomily along the road, that Jesus was actually, even though they didn't recognize him, he was there with them. And for some of us today, we might be walking through the tough places of life. And you might even be saying, where is God in the midst of my tough place? Those disciples didn't know where. They were asking, where is God? And God was right with them, being kind and patient and generous to them. God is here. In the tough, dark, gloomy, horrible places of our lives, he is still here. And that is what it means, God with us, Emmanuel. It's not just about a smile on Easter Sunday. It's about the burning heart where we say, my life is tough, but Jesus is with me in the toughness. And that is brilliant. That is a resurrection that we want. Well, that's a living Savior. Jesus isn't here just to make us all sort of skippy and dancy and making daisy chains together. Jesus is here to help us through the mess and the sorrow and the sickness and the pain. He is with us on the first 7 miles, and he's with us on the second 7 miles when we can celebrate as well. Isn't that good? Praise God. Now, the last thing I want to say, they said, we had hoped. And they also said, our hearts burned within us as he walked with us on the way. And the last thing they said when they got to Jerusalem was 3 words. It is true. It is true. And that's why that they became witnesses of Jesus. Their lives were turned around. And that's why I wanted us to hear some stories this morning. Because these stories are all people saying, it is true. It's true. Some people today, there's so many skeptics. There's so many people who are saying, this Christianity is absolute rubbish. It's all fairy stories. There's nothing substantial to it. We're all just believing make-believe, like we might as well believe Hansel and Gretel or something else, you know. And actually, a lot of people think that. A lot of people think there's no substance to the Christian faith. I want to say, it is true. Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He rose from the dead. He is ascended today. And there is amazing historical evidence for the resurrection. It is true. If you want to look into this anymore, there's an amazing film. You can look at it on Netflix, actually. The Case for Christ. Go, if you're someone and you're thinking, No. I'm a skeptic. I'm a scientist. I am an atheist. I'm someone who is agnostic. I'm whatever. And you're saying, you cannot convince me Jesus rose from the dead. Well, I would like you to go home, get that film, because that's the story of a man who, Lee Strobel, and he was a journalist, a skeptical journalist. And he wanted to go into all the evidence because he wanted to disprove it because his wife became a Christian. And he wanted to disprove, no, this is a load of rubbish. And in his search for the truth and the evidence that came before him, he couldn't ignore the facts that it is true. It is true. Our faith is not built on fairy stories. It's built on hard evidence of the resurrection for Jesus. You just have to look into it, and I would encourage you to do that. I haven't got time today to go into all the reasons why Jesus is alive, but it is there. It is true. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with is this. The reason I wanted to share these testimonies with you today is for us to be thinking, what is my story? Can I go into my workplace? Can I go into my family? Can I go into my situation, my street, wherever you are this week? And how is it going to look for you to live out the words, it is true? Because that's what those men came back, running back the second 7 miles to say to everybody, it's true. We heard a rumor, it's true. What's your story today? How can you take your story and share it with somebody else over a coffee, over a chat with somebody? You know, when someone asks you, how was your Easter holidays? Yeah, it was great. I went to church and I heard about Jesus and the resurrection. And you know, I believe it's true. Something like that. And that is you being a Cleopas. That's you being someone who is a witness of Jesus. And I pray that God will give all of us burning hearts. Because we can be honest with people about how life is, but we can be honest about who Jesus is. And that Jesus is the hope of the nations. There is only one hope, and it is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So in response, as we close, there might be a number of us here today, and you have not yet given your life to Christ. You need the good news of Jesus, that he died for you. He rose again for you. First Peter 1 verse 3 says, we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's through the resurrection we have hope. So if you don't have that hope this morning, then today is the day for you to say, Lord, forgive me, have mercy on me, and fill me now. Give me a relationship with you. That Jesus, like on the cross, was forming a bridge between you and God. And that you can say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me and come into my life. Bring me a new life with you. And I hope that there may be many this morning in that who want to do that. Others of us, maybe you've been discouraged and you've come along here and you've been thinking, oh no, I've got to go to church on Easter Sunday. I'm feeling rotten and I'm supposed to be celebrating. And you know what? I want to say to you, it's okay. Be encouraged because he's with you in the first 7 miles when you feel rotten. He is still with you. You might not recognize him. It might not look like a happy day, but he is still with you in that moment. Be encouraged. Be blessed today. And there may be others of us, and you know that God is going to set, actually the thing you need from this morning is to be sent out those doors and to be a witness for Jesus somewhere, anywhere you choose, any place, and to share it is true with somebody who doesn't yet know that it's true. God wants you to be that person for them. What an amazing thing. You could be the person to share with somebody the best news they've ever had, the news of eternal life, and God will use you to do it. Isn't that amazing? God can do that. So be a witness. Many of us here today will be sent out from this place. Be a witness. Amen? Amen. Shall we stand? And I wonder if the band could come up.